We're going to begin our call of worship from Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. And if we could all stand and read it out loud together. I'm using the ESV, so those of you using phones and not our Bibles provided, make sure you're in the ESV so we can all read this together. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. This is our call to worship. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Going to pray to start us off. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for providing places where we can come and gather in your presence. And we can be fed by our Creator. We can be reshaped, recreated, made whole. So Lord, I ask that your word works in our hearts today, that we can hear what you have done for us and are continuing to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I'm going to read the scripture reading for today. I'm not going to make one of you guys read it because there'll be another point for you all to participate later on, so be ready. But today's Bible reading is in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. And in the beginning here, when it says he, they're referring to John the Baptist. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John? You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. This ends the reading of the Word of God. I close that. All right. Have you ever received something or experienced something that was so good you had to share it with someone else? You couldn't keep it to yourself. You had to go tell someone about it. You had to make someone experience it themselves. Matt Wimberly does this all the time. If you ever have hung out with him, he will constantly be like, "You have to drink this. Oh, you have to taste this. Oh, you have to look at this. Here's the newest meme. Here's a great song I just heard. Here's a great cheese that I just found. Here's a good drink. You gotta try this. It's so exciting. He can't keep it to himself. He has to share it with whoever is around him, and I love that about him. Because before I hung out with Matt, I didn't like coffee. Coffee was a means to an end for me. I just wanted caffeine, but actual black coffee was disgusting, and the thought of drinking it just made me shiver and cringe inside. I was like, I just need a lot of cream and a lot of sugar, and we'll get through this. But then I started hanging out with Matt. Matt had discovered good coffee. And when I told him, oh yeah, I don't like coffee, he was like, hold on. And it was actually in a coffee shop. And he has to get behind the bar, and he finds these fresh beans that weren't burnt and ashy, and grinds them himself and does some elaborate pour-over process that takes way longer than I ever would have imagined waiting for a cup of coffee, and gives it to me black. I'm like, I don't want to drink this, but he just spent 8 minutes on this thing. And then I try it, and my whole world is changed. All of a sudden, I'm tasting things in coffee that I never even believed could be there. And he took away my lifetime of bad coffee and led me into a new life of good coffee. So now I too am a coffee evangelist, and whenever I'm around people that haven't had good coffee, I can't wait to make them a good cup of coffee. In our passage today, we have a character named Andrew. And he experienced something so good, so wonderful, and life-changing, he has to share it with his brother Simon. It's the first thing he can think of is, I have to go tell my brother about this. But what was it? What did he experience? What was so good to Andrew that he had to go share it? He had to go grab his brother and say, you have to experience this too. Well, we have to get to know Andrew just a little bit and understand who Andrew was. Andrew was a fisherman in a region called Galilee, the outskirts of Judea, kind of on the margins. People out there were usually looked down upon and dismissed by most of Judea, the rest of Judea, the proper Jews who were around Jerusalem. And Andrew grew up being dismissed and accused. Accused of being the stumbling block to the kingdom of God. A popular idea among the Jewish people at this time, among the religious elite, was ritual purity. They believed that if we could just keep the law of Moses perfectly for a day, all of us, if we could just keep it for a day, the Messiah will appear, he will miraculously overthrow Rome, and lead Israel into this new golden era that we haven't seen since David. But Andrew, this fisherman in Galilee, was surrounded by Gentiles and had to sell fish, sell food, make a living to these Gentiles. And by doing that, he would be declared unclean. And he's in this uncleanness all of his life. And this is how he's growing up, and he's constantly being accused. Your sin is keeping Israel from entering into the next golden era. It is an obstacle to the kingdom of heaven. So Andrew's with John the Baptist, probably because he's the first religious leader that hasn't rejected him, that hasn't said, please go away, you're messing it up for the rest of us. And when he hears John say, behold, look, see that man over there? He's going to take away the sin of the world, including your sin. And not only that, not only is he going to take your sin away, he's also going to give you the spirit of holiness. So of course Andrew drops everything and says, I need to find out where that guy's staying tonight. I need to spend the day with him. I need to see what this is going to be like. Because I was always accused of keeping him from coming, from preventing his appearance. I'm going to go now track this guy down and see, is it really him? Is there really a chance that my sin could be taken away and I can be given this holiness? And he spends the day with him and he has to go run his brother down. He has to go find his brother and say, Simon, I met the Messiah. He's going to change our lives. And he brings his brother to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, I know who you are. Your brother told me about you. I know you've been dismissed and not heard most of your life. I know you've been accused of being the stumbling block of the kingdom of heaven. But I'm going to call you Cephas, the rock. You're not going to be a stumbling block to the kingdom of heaven. You're going to be a building block for my church. I'm going to take away your broken story that you grew up with. I'm going to give you a better one. One that's worth sharing. And this is what Jesus continues to do for each one of us. He says, I know the broken stories you've been stuck in, the miry pits you've just been wallowing in for most of your lives, I'm going to pick you up out of those things, out of those stories. I'm going to wash them off of you, and I'm going to set you up as a building block to my church. Jesus does this in a grand, ultimate way by taking our sins, by taking our broken stories, nailing them to the cross, burying them in the tomb, and then promising one day to resurrect, restory all of us at the recreation and resurrection of all things. But Jesus also does this in very personal ways, in little ways throughout our lives. And there's stories worth sharing. For myself and for Christina, the way God has most recently done this for us is by taking our despair. Christina and I have been trying for 3 years to have a child. It seemed very likely like we're not going to be able to have a child. This is our broken story. This is our sin. This is our brokenness. We can't have a child. Then on Thanksgiving Day, he takes our despair and changes it into Thanksgiving. He gives us something better and gives us a child. And now we're going to have a child, and that's something it's worth sharing, and you're probably going to hear about it a lot. So it's worth sharing. And we tell these stories and we share these stories because for those of us who are still in our broken stories, who are still in our miry pits, wallowing in our sin, when we hear these stories of what Christ can do, it directs us to the cross, it directs us to Jesus, and reminds us that he has promised to pull us out of the pits, to pull us out of the mud, clean us off, and restore us as living stones. As stories worth telling and sharing. So, I promised participation today. You all have stories that are worth sharing. I know you do. I could just say some of them right now, but that would defeat the purpose of what we want to get across this year, which is giving you guys a chance to practice your faith. So if one or two of you would have the courage, this is a safe place, to stand up and just share a way that God has taken away something bad and given you something good, something worth sharing. You can keep it brief, it doesn't have to be super long, but remember, it's a way for you to practice sharing what God has done for you in a way to encourage the rest of us. That Jesus works this way. That he's promised to fix our stories. He's promised to recreate us. So, if you have a story or something you would like to share, I'd love for someone to stand up. Dad? Praise God. Praise God. All right. One other person. Praise God. I love it. Awesome. Well, keeping it short, guys. I love it. So one more if we have time. If someone's feeling led to share something that God has given them. Kaylee? Woohoo! Praise God. Awesome. Very cool. Awesome. Praise God. This is what he does with his church. He takes away our sin and gives us his spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for taking our sin, for taking our brokenness, and you just took it on yourself. And you gave us your good. You gave us your holiness. You gave us your spirit. And Lord, I ask that we can continually see this exchange daily in our lives, that these stories add up, and that you give us the excitement to share these stories with one another so that we are encouraged and strengthened, that we, through these stories, can actually grow the church. Lord, I just thank you for everything you've done for us. It's better than we could imagine. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we will now have our offertory time of Thanksgiving. But during this time, Adam started we want to pray for people up front. And I know for some of you, you are still in a period of struggling. You're still in a time of waiting. And I would love to have a chance to pray for one of you, to ask God to come in and to lift you up out of that pit of darkness and set you up on his rock of holiness. So if anyone has a prayer request during the time of offering, if they want to come up and we can pray for. Lord, we lift your son, Alec, up to you. Lord, we invite you to enter into Alec's exile. And you pick your son up and you say, I'm taking you home. I haven't abandoned you. I love you. Bringing you into my church, into my family. because you are a loved child of God. So Lord, I ask that you fill Alec with your spirit. Restore him, Lord. We are so thankful that he's here and part of us because we missed him. Lord, I ask that you bring forth the restoration that only you can bring, healing that only you have. We look to you with hope. Now, like, I just want to say, we love you. We love you. You're forgiven. We're so glad you're here. Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. The restoration that the Lord offers to us is only made possible because he took our brokenness upon him and took the punishment that we deserved. He took the betrayal that we deserved, the abandonment that we deserve, so that we could be brought home, that we could be restored, and that we could be the people that he created us to be. So on the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." Likewise, he took the wine and said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink." We invite you to come up and partake of this meal and be reminded that you are the building blocks of the church, that you are not obstacles to the kingdom of heaven, but you are the very stones that this kingdom is built upon because of Christ's work in you. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done. Meet us in this meal and restore us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As you come up, remember that the wine is on the outer ring and grape juice is on the inner. You can come to myself or Adam. And we'll have the band come up first. All right. Receive the benediction. Yahweh will kneel before you, presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. Yahweh will illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, bringing order, and he will beautify you. Yahweh will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. Amen.